Good afternoon. My name is Kathy Connor, and you're listening to Kathy's Corner on WPKN 89.5 FM and streaming online at WPKN.org. The shows are also podcast now on SoundCloud, WPKN Community Radio. My show is part of a series that airs on this station during the week from 12 noon to 1 p.m., where experts share their knowledge and open the conversation for your participation sometimes. I don't always do that, but one of these days we'll get to that because I'd like to hear your feedback. My show airs the third Wednesday of the month, and my expertise is consciousness. Consciousness is awareness, intelligence, and we all have it. Waking, dreaming, sleeping are states of consciousness, and they're physiologically different from each other, subjectively as well as objectively. That means their experience is different, that's the subjective, and can be measured as different, that's the objective. There are different brainwave patterns, blood chemistry changes, respiration's different. Throughout the 24-hour cycle, we experience different states as one state of consciousness changes into the next. Yet there's something more permanent that does not change, and that is also consciousness. So it's my pleasure to share with you over 40 years of learning and experience in the field of consciousness and the knowledge how to unfold more of its value from within the mind. I'm the director of the Transcendental Meditation Program in Fairfield County, Connecticut. TM is a specific form of meditation that regularly, systematically provides the experience of the inner value of life, direct contact with the finer fields of the mind, in order to unfold the qualities of a higher level of consciousness, like clearing off the fog from the mirror or moving the clouds from the sun to enjoy more of the potential. So if you've heard the show before, you know the theme is to unfold the inner life for more successful outer life. And if you're finding us for the first time, welcome. And in each show, I like to emphasize that life moves in two modes. There's rest, there's activity, that there are two aspects to life. There's the inner and the outer. And I often relate these mechanics of life to something specific, which is often topical or seasonal. The outer, the active world, we know very well. It's the inner that we want to know better. And it's in the inner, in consciousness at deeper values, where we find more permanent peace, deepest peace, and inner peace. So today, my very special guest is also my very special friend and colleague, Bob Roth. Over the past 45 years, Bob has taught the Transcendental Meditation Technique to thousands of people, from billionaire CEOs to combat veterans to leading figures in government, business, sports, media, medicine, arts, and much, much more. Bob currently serves as the CEO of the David Lynch Foundation, a wonderful organization we've talked about a few times on the show, and he also directs the Center for Leadership Performance. Bob is also an author, and his latest book just out this month is called Strength in Stillness, The Power of Transcendental Meditation. So welcome, Bob, to the show.
Thank you, Kathy. It's an honor to be with you on this show. It's a great show, and you're a dear friend. So thank you for having me on.
Well, I was thrilled that you could take the time because I understand you're on a whirlwind book tour. How's it going? How are you feeling?
I have a philosophy, WKW, whatever Kathy wants.
I like that. I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I think you should. I'm calling you from Los Angeles. The tour is going exceptionally well. The book launch was February 6th, and it started with an appearance on Good Morning America. Mm-hmm. And now I've been to Washington, D.C., and then in Los Angeles with David Lynch. We talked to 1,000 people in San Francisco, to 1,600 people in Seattle,
nice.
Another 1,000. And I just heard that the book is a New York Times bestseller, an instant New York Times bestseller.
Wow, so congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm having fun.
Wow, well, I hope so. I wanted to tell you that I love the title because it's the theme of the show. It has the two aspects to it. So when I saw the title, I said, oh, I have to mention it to the listeners because this is what we do. We say there are two parts of life and strength in stillness. Tell me how you came up with that title.
Well, it's interesting. I was working with my publisher, Simon & Schuster, and the publisher of the publishing house, Jonathan Karp, who had just started TM and was really enjoying it. He was almost sounding like you. He's saying, well, we have to, in the title, we have to convey the two fields of life, that there's not just, you don't have strength by just working harder. And if you have stillness, that's not an end in itself. There's an implication. So it was he and I, but he is the one who just sort of realized that this would be a great title. And it really is the case that in the field of stillness, in the field of silence, as you talk about, in that field of deep rest, which one accesses during TM, that that's the basis for erecting. It's like digging a foundation for a tall building, for it to go tall. So it's just, you see it in nature. The roots go deep. The tree is tall. Dig a foundation in a building, the building goes tall. So same with our own lives. We have to establish our life in stillness, and then we can get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Well, it's such an important point because it's an area of life that's been forgotten for the most part, although I find more and more people are interested to unfold it, realizing that it is, even though it has been unused, they know it, something is there and they want to unfold it. One of the things I found incredibly interesting in your book was you had something that you called, you know, you were talking about the increased interest in meditation these days, meditation even in general these days, and I think you called it a perfect storm of three elements. Can you explain that a little bit to us?
Yes. I mean, I've been meditating for a long time, as you have been, in teaching, and people often ask me, well, why now? Why all of a sudden is there so much interest? The tipping point has tipped or is in the process of tipping. And there's just a receptivity that I don't think I ever felt before on such a large scale. And I imagine you feel the same way. And I liken it, I read three reasons, the perfect storm. The first is the problem. The first has two parts to it. The first is stress is worse than ever before. There's no question. Stress is killing us. It, you know, it compromises the immune system. It fogs the mind. It fuels illnesses. It including anxiety, depression, heart disease, any number of sleeping disorders, eating disorders, bipolar disorders. It's at the root of it. Either it's a cause of or exacerbates 80 to 90% of all illnesses. So you have that. But this rise in stress comes at a time when every one of us, we want to be more creative. We want to be healthier. We want to be happier. And in our work environment and in our school environment, we have to be smarter. We have to have a better memory. We have to be more insightful. We have to be more creative. We have to. There's like pressure on that. So it's not just driving in traffic that creates stress or worrying about a child who's sick that creates stress, but it's also internal. Our own pressure that we put on ourselves or that society puts on us to continue to grow. So that's the first reason, pressure, stress. Second reason is whenever we have an illness or a disorder, the first thing we do is we go to the medicine cabinet. That's what we do. We see what the pharmaceutical company, what pill can we take to help with this? Well, it turns out that there's no real pill for stress. I mean, there's no pill you can take to prevent stress or trauma, and there's no pill you can take to heal it. Now, we try to mask it, and we mask it with a lot of alcohol or a lot of caffeine, whatever, or we manage it with sleeping pills and pills to wake us up and pills to, you know, handle anxiety and depression. But there's nothing that gets to the root cause, and that root cause is like a tumor that's just growing, metastasizing. So that's the second reason. First is stress. Second is there's no solution from nothing that modern medicine offers. And the third reason is science. There's just so much scientific research on meditation in general and specifically transcendental meditation that there's no way to get around it. It works. Even if you're a skeptic, you have to begrudgingly accept the fact that something is going on in the brain, in the cardiovascular system, the digestive system, the respiratory system. Transcendental meditation specifically influences in a positive way all aspects of our life. Long answer, but you asked.
I did ask because I observed the same thing. I mean, it is a combination of things. And I think today people are realizing that stress can be at many levels of the physiology. It's not the obvious only, it's I stubbed my toe. It's more than that. It's I was pressured in that traffic jam and now I still feel jittery. You know, so that stuff, if it's not released from the system, it just kind of hangs out there. And I think what I'm noticing, what I hear a lot when people come to hear more about TM particularly, is they mention they have a lot of anxiety today. And that seems to be rampant. Young people, older, it doesn't matter. Anxiety seems to be at a very high level.
I talk about this in my book. I had taught these parents to meditate, and they were going over to their child's elementary school, and they wanted me to, you know, talk for a few minutes to the second grade class about transcendental meditation, and I'd never really done that before. And they brought in 60 kids from two different classes. And the first thing I did is I asked these second graders, how many of you feel stressed? Now, when I was in second grade, I didn't even know what the word meant.
Yeah,
every hand went up.
Yeah.
How many of you feel anxious?
Oh.
Every hand went up. How many of you have difficulty sleeping at night?
Yeah.
Two-thirds of they're second graders.
Oh.
Hands went up. So stress is all pervasive. Anxiety is increasingly all pervasive. And it's not just the anxiety of, oh, I'm living in a crime-ridden neighborhood and I'm an under-resourced inner-city school. It's the anxiety that comes from children who come from very affluent families,
yes.
Probably many of the people
right.
who listen to your show.
Right.
And it's like they can't get away from it. They're swimming in this anxiety,
right.
And it's crushing them.
Yeah.
And so increasingly, we're finding whole families coming to learn transcendental meditation because the parents are so concerned about their children
yeah.
as well as themselves.
Yeah, I find that happens a lot. And I do interact with all kinds of people like you do. But I do see people who, you know, they live in affluent communities and their children are suffering from anxiety because there's a lot of, and you mentioned it earlier, there's a lot of self-imposed pressure as well. And there's a lot of pressure from the outside that I don't remember having when I was growing up, like the social media pressures that younger people tend to have.
They're under pressure to get into the right kindergarten so they can end up at the right Ivy League school in, you know, 15 years
yeah.
or something. There's enormous pressure. And real, you know, it's understandable. You can't discount it, but there's more stuff they have to learn, more information.
Right.
And it comes down to, I like to say when we, and you mentioned at the beginning, that the impact of meditation influences the neurophysiology. It's not just some mental attitude. So when you do transcendental meditation, and we can talk more about the mechanics later, but the body gets a very profound state of rest and relaxation, in many regards deeper than the deepest part of deep sleep. And when the body is deeply rested, that's the only time, I emphasize, the only time the body can heal itself and dissolve or release these deeply rooted stresses. Exercise helps. Eating healthy helps. But I teach Olympic athletes who are in the best physical condition mm-hmm. imaginable. And at the same time, they're very anxious. So yeah. What happens is there's a hormone called cortisol, which is secreted by the adrenal glands, which sit on the kidneys. And cortisol is necessary to get us up in the morning. You know, it's something that keeps us going. But the problem is the body is in such hyperdrive. It's become a stress hormone. High levels
yeah.
of stress, the body secretes high levels of cortisol, and it becomes a vicious circle of cortisol and then more anxiety and then more cortisol and more anxiety. And if you get a good night's sleep, cortisol levels may drop 10% to 10%. But in 20 minutes of transcendental meditation, cortisol levels drop 30 to 40%. And nothing else does that. Nothing else does that. And it's not, as you well know, this isn't magic or mysterious. It just turns out the body has a mechanism.
Right.
Built-in, hardwired mechanism to take profound rest, to eliminate the buildup of stress and anxiety, to reduce cortisol. But as human beings, we've forgotten how to access that, maybe in our modern-paced society. But 20 minutes of TM, when taught properly by a wonderful instructor like Kathy, is sufficient to allow the body's own self-repair mechanism to kick into place.
Yeah, it's really quite simple, really, and logical when you think about it, because we need the rest. We already know that. But the rest that we get isn't really cutting it because anxiety levels are still high, even with a good night's rest. So something is lacking. And I think that's why people are turning to different alternatives or modalities and realizing that I've got to do something else. I have to do something in addition to whatever else I'm doing, because this isn't replacing anything, but it's in addition to whatever else someone does for their own well-being and health, realizing that a deeper rest, a more profound rest, and it's different rest, so that because the mind stays awake in this process, it's restful alertness, so it's a unique state of consciousness. So that's what we discuss in this show and related to different topics. But since we're on this point, let's talk about the neurophysiology and a little bit more about the brain, because I'm finding this particularly exciting, all the interesting things that do take place in the brain during this practice. So could you tell us a little about that?
Yes. And then do you want to first describe how TM works, or me or something, then I can go into that? Or should I just go into the brain?
Well, why don't I ask you to do it since you're my guest?
Yeah, but you're my host, so I want to defer to you. I like to use the analogy of an ocean, which is you're on a little boat. This is just to explain. And then I'll get to what it does to the brain, because I love that. The analogy to understand TM and even other forms of meditation, you're on a little boat, and you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And all of a sudden, you get these giant 30, 40, 50-foot high waves, huge waves. It's like four stories high. And you could think rightfully that the whole ocean is in upheaval, just turbulent. Turbulent doesn't even do justice. And yet, if you could do a cross section of the ocean, you'd realize you got these little itty bitty 30, 40 foot waves, relatively speaking, 30, 40 foot waves, because the ocean in reality is well over a mile deep. And while the ocean by its nature can be turbulent on the surface, by its nature, the ocean is silent at its depth. And the analogies to the mind. Surface of our mind is the active thinking mind, the side of life that you were talking about at the beginning, Kathy, of the dynamism, active, active, active. And it's I like to call it the gotta mind. I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta call him, I gotta call her, all things we gotta do. And we all every human being says, oh God, my mind is just driving myself nuts. I wish I could have some calm, some settled, some peace, some inner calm, some inner settledness, some inner peace, some inner clarity. And the operative word there is inner. And the question is there such a thing as an inner? And if so, how do we get there? And in transcendental meditation, we hypothesize that deep within every human being, doesn't matter their religion, their philosophy, their age, their lifestyle, what nationality, just by virtue of being a human being, there's a level of the mind deep within where the mind is already calm and settled and wide awake. And this is a hypothesis. And in transcendental meditation, we've lost access to that. And in transcendental meditation, we learn in personal instruction how to meditate. And Kathy Connor is one of the greatest TM teachers in the world. And do not edit this out. And Kathy or any other certified teacher, TM teacher, teaches you how they give you a mantra, which is a word or a sound. It's in personal instruction. Simple, couple syllables, no meaning. And then they teach you how the gentle, delicate, wonderful, effortless process of how to think the mantra as a catalyst to allow your mind to just access those deeper, quieter, more peaceful, more rejuvenating and relaxing levels of your own self. Now, interesting, when you do that, your brainwave pattern shift from waking state, which is very active brainwaves. It's like 16 to 24 cycles per second. Your brain is really sort of active and sort of scattered and chaotic. And it shifts to what's called alpha 1. You won't be tested on this, but alpha 1. And that's 8 to 10 cycles per second, particularly in the front of the brain. And that's a brain that shows that your mind is deeply settled and yet wide awake. It's not like sleep, which is delta brainwaves, which is 0 to 4 and is very slow and sluggish. And it's not like many meditation techniques that involve a lot of concentration where your brain is really working hard. gamma brain waves. Very easy, comfortable. And not only is it alpha 1 in one part of the brain, that spreads all over the whole brain in a synchronous, coherent manner. So your whole brain is restfully alert. It's bathed in this alpha 1. And that is considered to be a perfect state for after you're done meditating, for listening, for learning, for your memory, for insight, for judgment and planning. Everything good about the brain depends upon that coherent functioning. But here's one, can I make one more point about the brain?
Yes, please do.
Okay. So one more thing that it's just new research that's coming out. So I said at the beginning that transcendental meditation helps develop creativity. Now, creativity is a very sort of, you know, on the outside, it's creative, and you know, you're creative for a little while, you have creative thoughts, and then it comes and goes, and sometimes you feel sort of sluggish, or you don't have any good ideas, you have writer's block. Well, brain research is now on some of the most creative people in the world. It's identified something very interesting. And it would be great if I had a graphic here, but you just have to think it in your mind's eye. The front of your brain, so now I'm going to talk about creativity. The front of your brain, about the size of your fist, right behind your forehead, is called the CEO of your brain, the prefrontal cortex. This is your attention network. This is the part of the brain where you're focused and thinking logically. It's judgment, it's planning, it's decision-making, all those things, sense of self, but it's a focused value of the mind, of the brain. Now, there's another part of the brain, which is called the imagination network. The front is called the executive functioning network, control network. There's another part of the brain, which is called the imagination network. Technically, it's called the default mode network. Now, is this too much detail, Kathy, or is this
interesting? Oh, no, this is really fascinating.
Okay, the default mode network. And this part of the brain, this is the part of the brain that functions more actively when you're not concentrating, when you're not focused. And it's like when you're focused, you're trying to figure out a problem, or you're trying to write something, and you're really concentrating, and nothing's coming. You just don't have the answer. What do we know to do? You take a break, go for a walk,
yeah.
Or you take a hot shower, and then ever have that experience, and then all these good ideas come. Or you take a break, and we take a break minutes at a time, or we take, that's why a weekend is so valuable, or we go on vacation, because it takes us out of that focused attention. And this is the imagination network, and it's a connection between the front of the brain and the back of the brain, and it considers past memories and future plans, and it's really where innovation springs. Okay, so we have those two things, parts of the brain. Now, in most people, I'm sorry this is so long, but it is interesting. In most people, either the focused concentration attention network, executive functioning, is functioning, or they're sort of daydreaming, and they're just sort of going for that walk or having that hot shower. Either one or the other. But what happens in the most creative people is they function together simultaneously. So they can focus yet not lose that big vision, not lose that imagination, that creative, that out-of-the-box thinking. And what they're realizing is that during transcendental meditation, there's an increase in the attention, that executive functioning. There's a waking up of the executive functioning, frontal lobe, and there's an increase in the activity in the imagination network or the default mode network, and that they're simultaneously functioning. And this is why you have some of the most creative people, like a Jerry Seinfeld in the arts, or a Paul McCartney, or a David Lynch, who've all been meditating over 40 years, or a Ray Dalio, who runs the largest hedge fund in the world, who's meditating 45 years. They say that transcendental meditation not only helps them get to the top, but far more difficult is to stay at the top. And so I think that research coming out now on the creative mind and TM and brain, very interesting.
I think it's really interesting. And I find myself spending a little more time these days when I'm explaining transcendental meditation on the brain, because everything comes through there. And if that's not working well, well, then the results aren't so great. And the opposite is true. And just to to jump onto your last point about Ray, I came to your book launch that you had in Connecticut last week, and you had a couple of different panels, and Ray Dalio was on one of the panels, and he said something that I often say to people, and I was very happy to hear him say this. He was answering the question about, well, what sort of benefits do you notice after so many years? And he said he's more intuitive. And I always say to people, you know, you have a whole brain. Don't identify with just one part. Maybe you're more analytical. Maybe you're more intuitive. But when you look at successful people, they're actually using pretty equally both parts of the brain. So intellect and intuition, it's all part of it. We all have it. It's a matter of it being lively and integrated. And that's another thing that comes from the research on TM is brain integration.
Yes, and the interesting thing is they used to think, and I thought this until recently, that, oh, the right hemisphere of the brain, the right region of the brain is the creative part, and the left hemisphere region of the brain is the analytical. Well, it turns out that's not as literal as that. It's more networks. Mm-hmm. It's more connectivity. It's more integration. Yeah. Different parts of the brain working together rather than just this binary sort of situation. And I think it's very interesting when Ray talks about intuition, because intuition, which is that faculty of the, you can only hear your intuition if your mind is settled and the static and the noise is not sort of gripping you, which comes about from transcending. I'd love to talk about transcending in a moment too. But what happens is you can hear that inner voice, you can hear that intuition, which spontaneously computes so many different factors. Ray has said, and people will tell you, there's too much information to take in intellectually and sort through from your intellect. Just too much now. We're engulfed in it. But that faculty of intuition, which is based on your own past experiences and your wakefulness and the frontal lobe and the whole thing, gives you a sense of what direction to go. And that really, as Ray said, develops through transcendental meditation.
Yeah, that's really nice. It's being familiar with those settled fields of the mind. And I've also heard David Lynch speak about it in a similar way in his book, Catching the Big Fish. And it's similar in that when you're open to those levels, then you're more aware of those more subtle but powerful creative thoughts that come in the mind. So very successful, creative, intuitive people are using more of their brain, as far as it looks like to me.
No, that's absolutely the case. And it's using part of the brain, but it's not just using part of the brain, but there's more communication between the different parts of the brain. Everything good about the brain depends upon that communication, front, back, left, right, different networks. Yeah. And everything good, and stress rips apart that communication.
Right.
And the same thing in the brain. Everything good about a relationship with someone depends upon communication, and stress rips apart that communication.
Yeah.
Everything good about a family, about a company, it all depends upon communication. And if there's stress, it rips apart, breaks down the communication. If we're not stressed, but not just not stressed, if we're deeply connected with ourselves, then all the subtle communication within the brain takes, you know, reveals itself, and then everything is better. Everything is better.
Yeah, it's so true. I actually was teaching a neurosurgeon about a year ago, and I ran some of these things by her, and she said, yeah, neuroscience is looking at brain integration more than anything else, because she said it's like the brain is like a team, and if some parts of the team don't know all the plays, well, you're not as successful. So it does make sense.
And the interesting thing that, you know, we're talking about here is intuition, is that people sometimes say to me, well, transcendental meditation, what is transcendental? What does that mean? Because the word transcendental can either be strange sounding or intimidating. Well, that sounds very difficult. But transcend, the word to transcend, it's in the dictionary. It means to go beyond or to break or sort of ordinary human limitations. We don't want to feel, as human beings, we don't want to feel limited. We don't want to feel bound. We don't want to feel stagnant. We don't want to feel like like just routine, and that life is passing us by. We don't want to feel in ourselves. We don't want to feel in our relationships, in what we're doing. It's a natural human desire to want to grow. And so we seek transcendence when we look for a more creative job, when we test our limits by, you know, taking a spin class or taking a drama class or taking a class that's, you know, learn a new language, or we go to a new place for vacation, or we try new food, or we meet new people. That's this whole desire to sort of break out of something of limitations. It's the nature of life is to grow. The problem is when we just try something else, the extraordinary very quickly becomes ordinary. We just try to change one thing for another on sort of a horizontal level. That's not real transcendence. That's not really breaking boundaries. That's just making a change for the moment. Transcendence in transcendental meditation is how do we access those deeper and deepest levels of our own nature? You know, we were just talking about it, intuition. We feel things. In transcendental meditation, we recognize that there's a vertical dimension to the mind. We feel things deeply. We love deeply. The emphasis on the word deeply. So, and we even have, there's moments of transcendence where you hold a newborn child in your arms and time, boundaries, time slips away. Athletes talk about being in the zone where they have that inner silence, yet everything outside is just the same or more crazy than ever. Or you listen to some music and you're just lost in the music, but not lost, just there's a depth that resonates with the depths of your core, of your being. So in transcendental meditation, we learn how to access the depth. It's not that there's mindfulness meditation, which are cognitive processes, which means thinking, which teach us on that, in that ocean analogy, to just sort of how to manipulate or observe thoughts or control thoughts, control waves. It's on the level of the waves. But in transcendental meditation, we understand that waves are part of the ocean, but the silence within the ocean, deep within the ocean, is a hidden part, a forgotten part. And so in transcendental meditation, we learn how to settle down and access that. And that's where you have this complete change in the brainwave patterns, mm-hmm. complete change in all the other neurophysiological systems. And that's how we feel more energized, more focused, more creative, and happier in our daily life afterwards. Because we're not meditating for the sake of that experience, not for the 20 minutes, as you well know. We're meditating for the 8-10 hours after we're meditating, after we're done meditating. So we're bringing more of ourselves into our daily life.
I think that's the most important point to make, because we see a lot of attempts out there to improve life, and it's fine to do that, but sometimes it's mistaking the path for the goal. And in this practice, to give access to the entire physiology to that more settled state is very practical, because it does emerge into your day-to-day life. And I spend a little time these days, because we're still dealing with people thinking this is a quick fix or anything they want to, as a quick fix. And I say, no, this is a deliberate practice you'll do regularly to unfold those deeper values and integrate them into your day-to-day life. So that alpha one brainwave pattern you mentioned that happens during the meditation is a natural result of the experience of transcending, but that stays in the brain, even in dynamic activity. So if people say to me, which sometimes they will, they want to get a little kudos for having a deep meditation, they'll say, oh, Kathy, I had a really good deep meditation today. And I'll tend to turn it around and say, well, how did you feel in that traffic jam that you just told me about? I'm a little more interested, because that tells me if your stomach's not churning and you're not upset and screaming at the other drivers, that tells me that the process is actually showing up now. It's working. And that's what we do it for the day-to-day life to be a more balanced and successful life.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's practical. This is a practical technique for daily life. It's not, again, we don't meditate to escape from life. You don't water the root of a tree. You're not just wasting. You got all these leaves and branches and fruit and flowers, and they're all needing some attention. And you got, you know, a limited amount of water. Well, you're not wasting the water by pouring it on the roots, on the dirt. you're actually most efficient because you're nourishing every leaf, every flower, every fruit, every branch, everything, every twig, the trunk in one simple action. And the same is true with transcendental meditation. We access the core of our being. We take a few minutes to reset, to reboot, to recharge from the core of ourselves, the quietest, deepest, most transcendent level of our own nature. And when we do that, all aspects of our life are improved.
Well, that's a very important way to explain it, because we live in such active times and we forget that there's more. But now, as we're seeing, more people are looking inward. And I want to take a few minutes towards the end of our discussion here just to bring something up that I know is very dear to your heart, and that's the David Lynch Foundation. And particularly what you're doing with students. You know, we're all aware that there's this unfortunate tragedy that happens way too often where their students aren't safe in our schools. And taking all the points together that you've mentioned today, it makes a lot of sense to me that if we can bring a program to the schools to encourage the a better brain functioning for better decisions, because that's what comes out of a more integrated brain, a brain that isn't functioning at that hyperactive level where the amygdala, the fear center, is in overdrive, and then decisions are stress-related or stress-based, and also creating an atmosphere in the schools that is more harmonious. And we're actually seeing this happen in many schools. And you were at the forefront of all of this some years ago when you started the David Lynch Foundation. Can you talk a little bit about that, what's going on in the Quiet Time program these days?
Yeah. One of the big focuses now in education across the board, it doesn't matter whether it's an inner city school or an affluent school, a private school, a public school, is what is the term they call is learning readiness. What do we do to prepare the young person who gets to class first thing in the morning, 8 o'clock or whatever it is, and they sit down in their first period class, and what is done to make them ready to learn? Because you can have the best teachers, you can have the best, you know, one ratio of teachers, best books, best computer system, or the opposite, or not. But if that child comes to class not ready to learn, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The learning process is not going to take place unless there's a receptive mind that's discriminating and clear and focused. And so what to do with that, and how to help students get rid of the enormous amounts of stress that they are taking into their lives, the 24/7 life they have, as you were talking about, the number of hits they have on, you know, social media, these things that when we were growing up wasn't even an issue. All these things, how to address the complex pressures. And so, and that pressures, by the way, that stress, it's not just a nothing. It's actually pretty much everything. I mean, the bottom line is the number three cause of death among teenagers in America is suicide. Mm. The number of kids who are becoming addicts of from opioid or alcohol, it's just horrific.
Yeah.
So what's happening now to address this problem is what David Lynch Foundation, what we call Quiet Time. It's offering transcendental meditation as part of optionally to kids in public, private, and charter schools. They begin and end each school day with, you know, 10 or 15 minutes of meditation. And what that does, it first period class, it allows the mind, the child's mind and body to settle down, eliminates the buildup of stress, wakes up the brain. The kids do better in school. They're less depressed. They're less anxious. Their memory is better. They focus more. There's fewer suspensions and expulsions in some of the tougher schools, less violent. It's a complete transformation of the school, individually of the child, but the school as a whole. And I know we're running out of time, but I'll just give you this one experience that we have in Chicago. We have the University of Chicago Crime Lab has established something called, they've established their they've established on a large scale a study using quiet time. What they've done, 3 years ago, they announced a request for proposals. They were looking for grassroots organizations in Chicago that could help them reduce the violence and crime and shootings in the toughest schools in Chicago. So they put out a request for proposal, and 230 different organizations submitted proposals. They reviewed the proposals. They accepted three. Of those three proposals, the David Lynch Foundation received one, was accepted for one. They gave us $300,000 in the first year. We worked in two very tough public schools. The results were so marked. The benefits were so strong in terms of attendance and grades and everything that last year they increased it. They gave us another $1 million to increase it and expand the number of schools. That program was so successful, they increased it again to this year. The budget is for $2.6 million.
Oh, wow.
2,000 kids involved in this study. And it's a randomized control study with kids who aren't meditating and kids who are. And the results are coming out to be so strong, and they'll be announced probably in a few months, but the preliminary results so strong that now we're looking to replicate it in schools in New York City, in Washington, D.C., and in Los Angeles, Atlanta, all over the country. And I think it should be throughout Connecticut, you know, at some point. So that is showing that there is a tool that we can, a technique, a means we can give our children, not a religion, not a philosophy, no change in lifestyle, just something you learn, you do on your own, quietly in the class during the school day or at home on the weekends. It's enjoyable. The results are significant and demonstrated by research. It can transform lives, and that's the theme of the David Lynch Foundation. Change begins within, overcoming stress, and transforming lives. And that's our mission. And fortunately, with the support of wonderful teachers like yourself, Kathy Connor, Kathy's Corner,
thank you,
and other teachers all over the country and all over the world, we're demonstrating proof of concept. We're demonstrating that this works. And I think within a few years, this is going to be offered in schools all over the world. Because what are the options? Give the children more pills, more drugs, more tranquilizers? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I think people are ready for a solution that works, and there's the research now behind it that shows that it works. And so I feel very optimistic about that. Just for a moment, I want to thank you publicly on the show, because a couple years ago, I turned to you for some help when we had the tragedy in Newtown. And the David Lynch Foundation was very supportive, and we were able to teach several hundred people in the Newtown community because of the generosity of the David Lynch Foundation, and many people enjoying that TM practice there. We have regular group meditations in Newtown. It started where we taught people from the community, then we taught many of the educators and anybody else who was associated with that tragedy. And so it was something that I was very grateful to you that I had someone I could turn to who could help me in that situation. And now as we look down the road, we want to prevent these kinds of things from happening by bringing more order and starting with the order in the brain and allowing this program to be more available to any innovative thinking administrator who wants to implement it in their schools. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, Kathy, as I opened up the show, WKW, whatever Kathy wants, but even beyond that, our goal is to provide this. You know, if there was an epidemic, if there was in some country, a malaria, epidemic of malaria, and there was a pill that could help prevent and treat malaria, you'd want to get it to everyone. And so I look at this. The word meditation can, you know, have all sorts of connotations, but just get rid of that. You call it Technique X. The name doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Here's something that's universal, that a parent, you know, in Greenwich, anyone listening to this show, It's something that is relevant to you. It's evidence-based. It requires no, you could be 100% skeptical, and the technique works just fine. So there's no belief system. Skepticism is fine. The research is there. It takes about an hour, hour and a half a day over 4 consecutive days to learn it. You've got it for the rest of your life. But the nice thing is you also have the support and follow-up of the TM Center and TM teachers in your community. If should you have any questions over the course of your lifetime, they're there to support you. There's no membership, additional membership fees or dues like you have at a gym or a yoga. It's just you learn it, enjoy it. We're here to help.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I know you're very busy. Maybe we have a minute for anything else you want to add, but I do appreciate, I know you're running around and sharing your book, and I'm hearing from friends who are hearing you speak wherever they are in the West Coast, and friends getting ready for you to come to Fairfield, Iowa to speak. I've heard that. So you're very, very busy, and I appreciate your time. And I'm even more in awe of you now that I've read the book, which I wasn't sure I was going to be able to because my time's a little short. But I actually was very absorbed by it and enjoyed reading it. And all the fun things you explain and the science is there, the personal experiences of people and even your own personal experience was very inspiring. So if anybody is interested in the book, it's called Strength in Stillness, The Power of Transcendental Meditation. Our guest today has been Bob Roth, and Bob has shared with us his very deep understanding of the mind and the brain and the value of this program. And thank you, Bob, again for your time, and I wish you well on the rest of your tour.
Well, thank you very much. And the book is on, it's the amazing thing about Amazon is the more books it sell, then the cheaper it gets. So it's a $24 book. But now it's on Amazon for $14.40.
Oh, that's a good deal.
And I thought it was the other way around. If books weren't selling, then they want to get rid of it. But it's really inexpensive. And the one thing I wanted to say, if it's okay, is that 100% of the proceeds that I get from the book, I'm donating back to teaching veterans and at-risk women and children to learn to meditate.
Oh, that's very generous of you. And very kind-hearted, because that's the kind of person you are. And I appreciate that you spent some time with us today. And again, the book is Strength in Stillness, The Power of Transcendental Meditation. And we've been speaking with Bob Roth. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much.